You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
To anytime you need a snack. And with that, you could burn 589% more fat. Watch the video at ilikehowilook.com to get the full story. Most people notice a curbed appetite and more energy the very first day. It's safe, all natural, there's a money-back guarantee, and they'll even send you free samples. Go to ilikehowilook.com. ilikehowilook.com.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hey, listen, I have my own business. Can you help me get my name out there?
I'm on it.
You can print my name on anything?
On it. Your name on business cards, on pens, brochures, banners, t-shirts, signs.
Go on.
On hats, mugs, magnets, calendars, keychains, tote bags.
On tote bags?
Totes.
Can I do it on budget?
On it.
I'm sold.
Hey, are you ever not on?
Only on my days off.
Make on budget happen, make getting noticed happen. Staples, make more happen. Get 20% off any copy and print order of $50 or more.
Offer valid in-store and online ends 1/31/15. Excludes self-serve copying and faxing, computer rentals, and outsourced print services. Discount applied before taxes may not be combined with any other offer.
African police tear-gassing school children for wanting to play on their school's playground? USA's Cub Buning has the story.
A wealthy and powerful politician in Africa utilized a loophole to seize a large parcel of land that included a playground at a Kenyan school. When school children themselves decided to protest the illegal move, authorities were brought in. School children were tear-gassed just for wanting a safe place to play after they tore down a recently built wall at their Nairobi school. A crime against humanity and a complete lack of fear, states popular Kenyan musician David Mutengi.
The guys who are stealing this land have guts. How do you justify stealing this land?
The school in the capital city houses about 1,000 children between the ages of 3 and 14. I'm Cub Buning.
Enjoy those low gas prices while they last. A former Shell oil tycoon tells USA Today he expects prices to surge to $5 a gallon over the next decade. John Hoffmeister says prices are bound to tick up in 2016, which they typically do during an election season. This is USA Radio News.
Did you pay for childcare last year? Did your mom move just down the street and say, "I'll watch the kids while you're at work," and you were like, "Great," but then she said, "Let's discuss rates." And you found out the exact price of Grandma's love, plus overtime and holidays. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, "Did you pay for childcare?" is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
The ACLU says a Mississippi school could be violating the law by requiring students to have parental permission to join a proposed gay-straight alliance club. USA's Bob Kellogg has the story.
Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council tells USA Radio News he doubts the Rankin County schools would be violating federal law because parental permission is required for all kinds of activities already.
They go on field trips to participate in sports and so forth. I would think anything that extracurricular that's outside of the regular prescribed curriculum of the school, it would be legitimate to require parental consent.
Sprigg adds that it is disingenuous for GSA clubs to claim their purpose is to promote dialogue.
What they do is exist to eliminate dialogue by silencing people who disapprove of homosexual conduct. And that's the ultimate goal of the homosexual movement.
I'm Bob Kellogg.
ISIS militants say they'll kill two Japanese hostages unless Japan pays $200 million in ransom and stops supporting the U.S.-led coalition fighting the group. ISIS released a video online today showing two Asian men kneeling in front of a man dressed black holding a knife. The man, speaking in English, says the Japanese public had 72 hours to pressure the country's government to stop its support for the coalition. Japan's prime minister is demanding the immediate release of the two men. These and other headlines can be found online at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Time is 10:06. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. We're experiencing 36 degrees right now and partly cloudy skies in Flemington. Today is January 20th, 2015. Partly cloudy and a high of 39. Winds west-northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Some clouds this evening will give way to mainly clear skies overnight. A low of 23, winds light and variable. And cloudy tomorrow, flurries or snow showers possible late. A high of 34, winds light and variable. Occasional snow showers on Wednesday night and a low of 26. Chance of snow 60%. Snow accumulation less than 1 inch. Thursday, mostly cloudy skies early, partly cloudy later, a high of 38. Friday, sunny skies 36. Saturday, periods of rain and snow, a high of 38. Chance of precip 70%. 40 in Hopewell, 39 in Raritan, 35 in Franklin, 37 in our northern border, Highbridge and Tewksbury, 38 in Reddington, and 37 in Kingwood. That is Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Stay tuned for Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice and hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking either solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out those technological decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include news, latest advice, buying advice for hardware and software, the latest apps, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook, email me at goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. The studio phone number here is 908-237-0410, and if you need to get in touch with me outside of the show, my company website, bluepantherbiz.com. Welcome to January 20th edition of Tech Today, and lots of interesting stories to go over with you. My favorite one right off the bat, check this out. Self-service beer taps coming your way. Parisa Cavalance of CNN Money on January 16th reported that how much do you hate waiting for another beer in a crowded bar? It irked Josh Goodman enough to invent a pretty obvious solution, self-service beer taps. Goodman, 36, recalled the exact moment in late 2008 when his frustration boiled over. I was hanging out with my friends at a Baltimore sports bar during an Orioles game, he said. We just couldn't get another beer served to us quickly. Even more than being annoyed, Goodman was struck by how much money the bar must be losing. Almost immediately, he got to work on a self-service beer concept. Within a few months, Goodman had launched Pour My Beer in Chicago, where he'd relocated to be with his wife. He invested $20,000 of his own funds and partnered with a U.S. manufacturer to make beer tables with 2 to 4 self-service taps. In February 2009, Goodman landed his first client, a Baltimore tavern. That's ironic. He spent the next 2 years growing the business and adding more bars and restaurants. In 2011, Pour My Beer introduced self-service beer walls, which let people pour their own beer from taps on a wall. We've seen people waiting in line to use the self-service unit, said Scott Taylor, president and COO of Walk-On's Enterprises. The Baton Rouge, Louisiana-based sports bar franchise has Pour My Beer's tables in 4 locations that plans to roll out in 3 new bars. We're committed to this, said Taylor. It's efficient, and we're making a little more money on beer sales. Most importantly, our customers think it's neat. It requires bars and restaurants to be vigilant about underage drinking. There are also safeguards in place to make sure people aren't overserved. To access beer wall, for instance, customers, and here's where the technology part comes in. I know I wasn't crazy. Customers have to use an RFID-enabled wristband or card. It's controlled access. The units give 32 ounces or 2 glasses of beer per person at a time, said Goodman. When the limit is reached, customers can reactivate for more pints. Pour My Beer was expanded to over 200 restaurants and bars in 28 states and Canada. The concept will roll out in Chicago O'Hare International Airport this week and in Italy and Brazil later this year. The tables start at $4,000 and the beer walls cost as much as $16,000. It generated more than $400,000 in sales in 2013 and doubled that in 2014. Goodman expects to take in close to $2 million in revenue this year, which would make it the company's first profitable year. Our business customers tell us that they've cut down on waste, and they're selling twice as much beer on average, said Goodman. There's one other benefit. The self-service beer units are hot social media fodder. People take pictures of themselves using it and tag their friends, he said. That's great advertising for us, and it's also indirectly driving more traffic to the bars and restaurants. How about that? There isn't a lot of money that is made on beer sales, so the fact that they can actually push it off to self-service and everybody's happy about it, hey, that's pretty good. It's 10:13, and I'm going to be back in just a moment with Tech Today, and we're going to talk about somebody who's getting back at the bad guys via technology. This is pretty cool. Stay tuned to Tech Today on HuntChamberRadio.com.
I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Ashore Shred. I love being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Active involvement in it has given us numerous opportunities to meet other business owners and simultaneously has helped Ashore Shred to grow.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
It's 10:18. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. We constantly hear about the attacks on websites in the United States, hackers and all that good stuff. Well, here's the other side of that. CNN Money reports, Jose Paglieri, meet the vigilante who hacks jihadists. Anonymous isn't doing anything new by hacking Islamic extremist websites. A mysterious figure known as the Jester has been at it for 5 years. Jester has single-handedly taken down dozens of websites that he deems support jihadist propaganda and recruitment efforts. He stopped counting at 179. To some, he's an internet superhero. Think Batman with all the vengeance, laden moral qualms of vigilantism included. Quote, I realized something needed to be done about online radicalization and grooming of wannabe jihadis, and we didn't have mechanisms in place to deal with it, Jester said in an interview with CNN Money. I decided to start disrupting them. Little is actually known about Jester other than his public persona on Twitter as TH3J35T3R. He is unapologetic, unabashedly pro-America, and full of military jargon. Jester first appeared on Twitter on December 19, 2009. Since then, he's used his computer hacking skills to shut down, deface, or expose anything that considers threatening to the United States, especially if it endangers soldiers. If a legitimate company is hosting the site, it usually gets a brief warning before the attacks. Consider his one-man operation on June 18, 2014. It was a Wednesday evening, and out of the blue, Jester sent a public message via Twitter to Globotech Communications, a company in Eastern Canada that hosts websites. You are hosting Phager.info, which provides material support, including mobile apps, to ISIS terrorists, he warned, identifying a specific computer server. At 9:19 p.m., Jester followed up with his signature threat, I respectfully urge you to review my last two tweets. You should take action, or if you prefer, I can. 30 minutes, TikTok. Half an hour later, the jihadist website was knocked offline and Jester delivered his catchphrase, Tango Down. 5 years of this has been made him something of an internet celebrity. Fans put hats and t-shirts sporting his Jester face logo or catchphrase. He has racked up nearly 58,000 followers on Twitter. His laptop is on display at the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. In late December, he retired his public persona and got showered with warm wishes and farewells. It didn't last long. The deadly attack on French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, which was planned by the group Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, brought Jester back out from the shadows. This past Saturday, he hacked into the Global Islamic Media Front, a jihadist website that provides digital tools and teaches terrorists how to communicate privately. Jester defaced the website by planting two images of Charlie Hebdo covers, one showing Muhammad images of whom are extremely offensive to Muslims, and the other showing a Muslim man kissing a magazine cartoonist. The aim was to push it out there and give them a black eye, he said. I'll be ramping up more offensive countermeasures over the coming days and weeks. Jester wouldn't say what exactly he has in mind, but if he sticks to his usual game plan, he started smaller jihadist websites, then people shift to the few well-known jihadist forums. He's herding them into a smaller space and therefore making them easier to monitor. He says he operates without the official approval of any U.S. government agency, but while Jester attacks jihadist websites, he says he quietly steals a bunch of information on visitors and site administrators and secretly passes the data on to his contacts at the U.S. intelligence agencies. So if he's Batman, who is his Commissioner Gordon? Nicely put. Sadly, I decline to comment, he said. Jester's original origin story. He says he spent 5 years as a U.S. soldier fighting in Afghanistan. His former job testing computer servers and beefing up their security taught him the necessary skills. He has a desk job now in the cybersecurity and intelligence field. He adopted the name Jester because it's a common enough internet moniker that he thought it would better hide his true identity among too many false positives. But make no mistake, his vigilantism is illegal under U.S. law, and the fact that he hasn't yet been hunted down and arrested says a lot about federal prosecutors and the FBI. Several cybersecurity experts see it as tacit approval. On one hand, his personal crusade makes him a little different from members of Anonymous. Last week, Anonymous blocked a jihadist website in retaliation for the Charlie Hebdo attack. The difference is that Anonymous is a worldwide ragtag group driven by various ideologies and rules. Jester sticks to one, patriotic mission, U.S. enemies only, but the definition is up to him. In 2010, he temporarily blocked WikiLeaks. In August, he took down the website of PlayStation hackers Lizard Squad. I answer to my conscience and to God, sir, he said. That's about it. I think my actions speak loudly enough of my principles and doctrine. So, a person whose advocation is to take down extremists and the communication mechanisms to get out propaganda. Very interesting. Moving on. A quick little article here about Mark Zuckerberg, written by VentureBeat.com. It says, Zuckerberg's three predictions for what social networks will look like in 10 years. This I find fascinating because I don't think we can even predict what's going to happen this year, and especially in the world of social networks, but we'll find out. Let's see what is on his mind. To the background of some jamming Latin tunes, Facebook co-founder and T-shirt enthusiast Mark Zuckerberg held a public town hall in Colombia today, in addition to announcing a new initiative to give free basic internet access to everyone in the country. He fielded questions about the future of the internet. One eager Colombian asked what Zuckerberg thought Facebook would look like in 10 years, and he took it as an opportunity to opine about the future of social networks more broadly. The short description is three major trends. One, there will be a lot more people on the internet. Two, we'll be more likely to message people through photos or SMS than the old web interface. And number three, the future of computing is augmented reality, distraction-free, heads-up communications. The first two are somewhat unsurprising. Cisco estimates that India alone will double its use base by 2018, with an estimated 526 million connected people. As far as alternate messaging, the field is rapidly expanding. For instance, the Facebook-owned WhatsApp Messenger has surpassed SMS in number of messages sent. Then there's Snapchat, which is just communication through momentary pictures. It has exploded in growth with a reported 100 million users. Text may be shrinking part of the future of the Internet. For example, the Apple Watch promises to keep users connected through haptic vibrations, like sending someone your heartbeat as a vibration to their wristwatch. This diversity of the ways in which people want to share the moments that they want to communicate and the tools that people need to stay connected are going to keep growing, Zuckerberg explained, noting that this could be a major source of competition for Facebook. But the real juicy prediction is augmented reality. In another 10 to 15 years, you can imagine that there will be another platform which is even more natural and even more built into our lives than mobile phones, he explained. Zuckerberg's imagination is worth quoting in full. Quote, I think it's pretty easy to imagine that in the future we will have something that we can either wear, and it'll look more like normal glasses, so it won't look like weird like some of the stuff that exists today, and you'll just be able to have context with what's going on around you in the world and communicate with people and not have to disrupt your conversations by looking down. The swipe at Google Glass, looking weird, probably did not go unnoticed by his neighbors down the road in Mountain View. Zuckerberg did mention that virtual reality company Oculus could be an important part of the augmented reality future. This is probably why Facebook paid $1 billion, really it was $2 billion, to be more precise, for that nascent startup. All right, so there you have it. Augmented reality and more people on the Internet. So we're not going to shut this down. It's going to get more impactful. And I have some news on Google Glass that I'll get to in a little bit. You're listening to Tech Today on 100chamberradio.com. We're going to take a quick break. News and weather up next. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. President Obama will deliver his sixth State of the Union address tonight. Obama will speak to Congress and the nation at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. The president has been previewing key themes for the annual speech over the past couple of weeks. He will promote the economic recovery and the strong job growth of the past year. The staff of House Speaker John Boehner is being social media savvy in advance of the State of the Union address by adding Taylor Swift to the mix. Boehner's official government website, speaker.gov, features a post titled, quote, 12 Taylor Swift GIFs for You. The GIFs of the country and pop music superstar songs are designed to criticize President Obama's plans to create a free community college and trade school program. Jury selection begins today in the trial of James Holmes, who's accused of killing 12 people and injuring dozens of others in a shooting at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. The first group of possible jurors will be in court today to listen to the judge's instructions and fill out the questionnaires. This is USA Radio News.
589%. 589%? That is how much more fat you could burn if you were using the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ilikehowilook.com. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. A double-blind controlled clinical study showed that the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system burned 589% more fat than exercise and dieting alone. Think how much easier it'll be to lose weight. Go to ilikehowilook.com and read the study for yourself. You swallow a small capsule at 10, another at 2, and eat a tasty collagen protein candy chew anytime you need a snack. And with that, you could burn 589% more fat. Watch the video at ilikehowilook.com to get the full story. Most people notice a curbed appetite and more energy the very first day. It's safe, all natural, there's a money-back guarantee, and they'll even send you free samples. Go to ilikehowilook.com. ilikehowilook.com.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hey, listen, I have my own business. Can you help me get my name out there?
I'm on it.
You can print my name on anything?
On it. Your name on business cards, on pens, brochures, banners, t-shirts, signs.
Go on.
On hats, mugs, magnets, calendars, keychains, tote bags.
On tote bags?
Totes.
Can I do it on budget?
On it.
I'm sold. Hey, are you ever not on?
Only on my days off.
Make on budget happen, make getting noticed happen. Staples, make more happen. Get 20% off any copy and print order of $50 or more.
Offer valid in-store and online ends 1/31/15. Excludes self-serve copying and faxing, computer rentals, and outsourced print services. Discount applied before taxes may not be combined with any other offer.
African police tear-gassing school children for wanting to play on their school's playground? USA's Cub Buning has the story.
A wealthy and powerful politician in Africa utilized a loophole to seize a large parcel of land that included a playground at a Kenyan school. When school children themselves decided to protest the illegal move, authorities were brought in. School children were tear-gassed just for wanting a safe place to play after they tore down a recently built wall at their Nairobi school. A crime against humanity and a complete lack of fear, states popular Kenyan musician David Mutengi.
The guys who are stealing this land have guts. How do you justify stealing this land?
The school in the capital city houses about 1,000 children between the ages of 3 and 14. I'm Cub Buning.
Enjoy those low gas prices while they last. A former Shell oil tycoon tells USA Today he expects prices to surge to $5 a gallon over the next decade. John Hoffmeister says prices are bound to tick up in 2016, which they typically do during an election season. This is USA Radio News.
Did you pay for childcare last year? Did your mom move just down the street and say, "I'll watch the kids while you're at work," and you were like, "Great," but then she said, "Let's discuss rates." And you found out the exact price of Grandma's love, plus overtime and holidays. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, "Did you pay for childcare?" is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
The ACLU says a Mississippi school could be violating the law by requiring students to have parental permission to join a proposed gay-straight alliance club. USA's Bob Kellogg has the story.
Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council tells USA Radio News he doubts the Rankin County schools would be violating federal law because parental permission is required for all kinds of activities already.
To go on field trips, to participate in sports, and so forth. I would think anything that's extracurricular that's outside of the regular prescribed curriculum of the school, it would be legitimate to require parental consent.
Sprigg adds that it is disingenuous for GSA clubs to claim their purpose is to promote dialogue.
What they do is exist to eliminate dialogue by silencing people who disapprove of homosexual conduct. And that's the ultimate goal of the homosexual movement.
I'm Bob Kellogg.
ISIS militants say they'll kill 2 Japanese hostages unless Japan pays $200 million in ransom and stops supporting the U.S.-led coalition fighting the group. ISIS released a video online today showing 2 Asian men kneeling in front of a man dressed black holding a knife. The man, speaking in English, says the Japanese public had 72 hours to pressure the country's government to stop its support for the coalition. Japan's prime minister is demanding the immediate release of the 2 men. These and other headlines can be found online at usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Time is 10:34. You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com. Here's HuntingChamberRadio.com weather. It is 37 degrees right now in Flemington, and it is still partly cloudy. Today is January 20th, 2015, and we're going to have partly cloudy skies, a high around 40. Winds west-northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 24. Winds light and variable. Cloudy tomorrow, flurries or snow showers possible late. Expected around 4 p.m., a high of 34. Winds light and variable. Wednesday night, everybody's freaking out about it. I don't even see an accumulation of 1 inch anymore. Snow showers. Around before midnight, a low of 26. Winds light and variable. Chance of snow, 50%. So even the accumulation has disappeared. So stop panicking. Thursday, cloudy skies early, followed by a partial clearing and a high of 38. Sunny skies and a high of 36 on Friday. Cloudy with rain and snow and a high of 38 on Saturday. Chance of precip, 70%. It's 39 in White House Station, 38 in Clinton Township, 36 in Franklin, 39 in Raritan, 39 in Ringos, and I see a 41 in Lambertville, New Hope. Wow, 41. Going to have to go over there and just bask in that sunshine. That is Hunting Chamber Radio weather. Stay tuned for Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. It is 10:36. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. What happened to Google Glass? Wow. A year ago, it was all the rage, and now CNN, Martha Peace says, Google Glass, what went wrong? Published on the 20th, that's today, and she says, in the movie Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner plays, well, let's get through this fluff here. Google seems to have stumbled on that simple fact last week. The tech world was surprised by an announcement that on January 19th, Google Glass will be withdrawn from the marketplace. Wonder how those people feel that paid $1,500 for that. Sales didn't catch fire, apparently. People didn't have much use for it. Google may have needed to stop and listen to the needs and emotions of people in the everyday world of consumers. Good things certainly flowed from Google Glass. A mainstream conversation started about wearable tech, taking it out of the lab and thrusting it into the clutches of consumers. By pushing its agenda into this area, Google will help open the floodgates of products that deliver the promise of the Internet of Things. Google Glass is a demonstration of what gives American business an edge. This kind of applied technology that creates leaps into a whole new category of products and economic territory is the essence of American competitiveness. But Google's fast retreat exposes the most fundamental sin that companies make with the build it and they will come approach. It's the process that tech companies rely on, referred to as public beta testing. But in one sense, it treats consumers like guinea pigs. And this is the part I actually hate. A company such as Google invents a test product such as Google Glass, throws it into the marketplace, and asks people to actually pay, in this case $1,500, for the privilege of beta testing their unfinished brainstorm. Companies are so focused on the mousetrap, like Google Glass, they tend to lose touch with the emotions and needs of the people they actually work for, which is the consumers. Astro Teller, head of Google Glass development at Google X Research Labs, admitted as much. The team looked inside Google to the technology they could produce to make Google Glass, and they didn't fully understand what value Google Glass would play in people's lives. There are other clues that Google had little advanced interest in their consumers' real feelings about the value of smart eyeglass technology. Before launch, Google didn't anticipate that few would want to pay or could afford $1,500 to parade in public with a device slung around their eyes that offers that others might perceive as either a threat or others' privacy or a pretentious geeky gadget. Google designated early adopters as explorers, but the outside world didn't quite see that way. Glasshole was the word people invented to describe Google Glass wearers. They were thrown out of bars and banned from movie theaters because of privacy and intellectual property concerns. Google Glass showed yet again that Silicon Valley's idea of fashion has precious little to do with the tastes of the rest of the world. Google execs were taken aback. They'd never anticipated rejection. Sebastian Thumb, a key exec at the Google Glass team, was shocked by a Glasshole label and surprised that for his office mates, wife and family, it was much less desirable for me to wear it than I initially thought. Is that tone deaf? Maybe. But more than anything, Google spent its time looking inward at how to make a product that would fit their business agenda of capturing more personal data rather than looking outward. That was a critical mistake. Feelings and emotions that consumers bring to a product that are pistons of the consumer demand engine, the demand drivers of why someone wants a product to begin with. Those drivers were there to be discovered and applied to the Google Glass product development process, and none of those are connected to the company's ultimate goal of having people hand over yet another more data to Google. Privacy, for example, is known as a big issue in wearable tech. Consumer confidence in the security of digital channels is low. Where is not one mode, though, which is majority of Americans are very secure sharing private information. How Google protects information through product design helps determine whether a person will be interested in buying their product. Google, more than any company, is familiar with the tricky relationship between technology and privacy, yet it designed a product that raised but didn't acknowledge and address those concerns. Google seems to have also missed that fashion is personal, and that is no less true in wearable tech. Any wearable tech that typecasts the wearer, or worse, threatens others, as Google Glass did, is likely to find limited demand. And Google is moving to fix the basic issues that dogged Google Glass by making product improvements, utilizing eyewear expertise, including a leader with fashion experience, and taking advantage of a big gun for strategic guidance, Tony Fadelli, who brought the iPod and Nest to market. We'll find out if the new team grasps the core reason Google Glass failed. The company wasn't accountable to its consumers. One can hope that in the next Google Glass round, and for other Google moonshots still incubating in the Google X lab, such as driverless cars and Wi-Fi balloons and glucose-sensitive contact lenses, to name a few, the company of engineers will gaze outside their lab to build a field of dreams for the people instead of to play there. There you have it. So just didn't sell. Some people were early adopters, and there are those people out there, and boy, that can be a huge head fake. The people that are early adopters that just have to have the technology to boost their own confidence and their own libido and their own status symbol. If once a product like Google Glass is created and that rush comes in, it's a fake, it's a false positive that things are going well, because early adopters will just about buy anything. And if you don't believe me, go and check out all the golf aids that are out there. It's just incredible. There's a pocket of people who just buy anything that has to do with golf. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's good or not. And same with tech and music. People are going to buy it, certain ones, but it's getting to the nitty-gritty. It's getting to that critical mass. That's the key issue, and that's going to be hard to do. 10:43, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a minute.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Quarter to 11. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. You know, I was listening to USARadio.com during my shows to this morning, and they were referring to a survey about teen privacy online and how parents are not, many parents are not aware of what their teens are doing. I was looking for that study to cite it and discuss it today, but I could not find it yet. I will find it at some point. However, I came across something completely different having to do with teens, and that one's even more startling, and it coincides exactly with what we're talking about. Kelly Wallace of CNN reports today, on the 16th, that help my teens watching online porn. So, what happened to Maddie, a mom of two boys, one afternoon has no doubt happened to countless other parents across the country. Maddie's computer was out of juice, so she hopped on her 15-year-old son's laptop. She looked at the history of something she was working on, and then, bam, there were links to 40 porn websites with topics too racy for me to print. I was freaking out, said Maddie, whose name has been changed to protect her privacy and her son's. She immediately did something she had never done before during her nearly two decades as a parent. She called her husband out of an extremely important client meeting. I thought, oh my God, we need to talk about this, Maddie said. There's nothing I can't handle with the kids. This I can't handle, she added, remembering how she felt at the time. It's not like Playboy, which your father had hanging around, where you could just see naked women. Just how many teens are watching porn online, it seems hard to pinpoint, experts say, because it's tough for researchers to get access to teens when it comes to studies about sexuality. In one study widely cited in the media, 42% of internet users aged 10 to 17 said they viewed porn online in the past 12 months. But 66% of those who said they saw porn online said they weren't looking for it and saw it accidentally, according to a 2007 study by the University of New Hampshire and published at Pediatrics. Elizabeth Schrader, a sexuality education expert who works with parents, teens, schools, and organizations, says her first message for parents is that there's nothing wrong with their children because they sought out porn. It's natural. It's normal. I hate to say it, but it's likely to happen with nearly every kid. It's not just the boys' story, said Schrader, former executive director of ANSWER, a national sex education organization based at Rutgers University. Hormones are raging as puberty hits, plus there's just a curiosity factor, she added. The discussion of porn and the acknowledgement that porn exists is so a part of mainstream media right now that it's impossible to not know about it. Schrader says that once parents ask her why their teens should be watching online porn, their next question is typically, what's the impact of watching it? We don't really know because there aren't many U.S.-based studies, Schrader says. There isn't a true causation of, I saw this in porn and therefore I'm going to do it, she added. Are there examples of that? Absolutely. Just like examples of kids who saw violence on TV and acted on it. But there are so many kids who see the same kind of violence or porn and don't act on it that we can't really say there is a causation. In a survey conducted by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy in 2010 in conjunction with 17 Magazine, 13% of young men ages 15 to 22 said porn influences their decisions about sex. The same number who cited sex education as influencing their decisions. Cindy Gallup, founder and chief executive officer of the sex education site Make Love Not Porn, which does contain adult content, believes there is a definite connection between the hardcore online porn young men are watching and their sexual behaviors. The 54-year-old has experienced it personally. She dates men in their 20s, she said. I realized that what I was experiencing was a result of two things converging, which is today's total freedom of access to hardcore porn online, meeting our society's equality, total reluctance to talk openly and honestly about sex, she said. Gallup, who gave 2009 TED Talk that has been seen more than a million times and does include some verbal adult content, has dedicated herself to trying to help people to all ages talk about sex openly, honestly, publicly, and privately in their intimate relationships. Today, very few parents ever bring themselves to talk to their children about sex, she says. And very often, parents have no clue about the kinds of things their kids are actually seeing online. I say to them, if you want to understand what's going on here, you need to go online and see what they're seeing, said Schrader, the sexual education expert. And what I say to them is, look at the ads, because sometimes the ads are way more disturbing and distressing than what they're seeing. There is parental control software and pornography blocking technology, which some parents are relying on to prevent accidental exposure to online porn and prohibiting their children from accessing it intentionally. But even the backers of this technology say it's not foolproof. Technology tools cannot solve the issues alone, said Clayton Ostler, the director of technology for NetNanny, software that analyzes the content of every page and blocks pornography or other inappropriate content. These tools are designed to be a part of an overall solution that involves parenting and open conversations about why pornography is not acceptable for your teen. Having the talk, Maddie's husband eventually had a conversation with his 15-year-old about a casual walk and told him there was nothing wrong with wanting to look at porn at his age. It's just that it's so different now than it was for me, my dad, leaving Penthouse on the coffee table in case I was interested, he said. According to Maddie, you would want to be careful that you are not just wildly clicking around because there's scary stuff. When parents confront their teens about their online porn viewing habits, it's crucial not to be accusatory, said Schrader. It's really important to say, lots of kids do this. You are not in trouble, but I want to talk with you. I think it's okay to sit down with a child and say, I'm guessing that since you went on here, you have some questions about sexuality. Is there something you need to ask me? If the child doesn't want to talk about that, which is entirely likely, Schrader says, parents can leave out a book or a magazine such as Sex, etc., which is made for teens and by teens. One of the most crucial things that kids need to hear from parents is why they are freaking out about their online porn watching in the first place. Here's what I'm concerned about, and let me tell you why, Schrader says parents could say. The images you are seeing do not represent real life. They're not made for your age group. However, they are what they are, and this is not cutting you off completely. Maddie says she still worries a little bit about what her son might watch, but she continues to keep tabs on him by checking the history, which he doesn't erase. There are parents like us who believe that it is natural for them to be curious, but with parameters and caution. Well, this goes hand in hand with a lot of different things. Number one is giving kids carte blanche on the internet is a crazy, crazy thing. There is so much absolute garbage out there that is not factual. It's all conjecture. You need to understand that kids are drawing upon that, and they don't know, most of them don't know how to separate the two. Number two, like the guy, the director of technology for NetNanny, it's more about your parenting than it is about, again, expecting a piece of technology to handle your issue. You should be having a conversation with your kids about all items that are on the internet. And in our house, it's happening almost on a daily basis. Kids are free to talk about whatever they want to talk about, and we get down to it. Now, sometimes I'd really not like to talk about it during dinner time, but we talk about it. You need to make sure that you are in tune with what's going on. The survey that USA Radio was talking about was basically saying two things. One, the kids want privacy, but two, they want security. And they want to know that parents care about them and care about their internet habits, despite the fact that if you catch them, they're going to be mad. But it's this catch-22. It's this weird equilibrium that they want to be private, but they want you to find out so that they feel that they're being cared for and that they're on the right track. You have to do things to protect yourself and protect them. You have to either have a conversation about, I want to see what's on your phone, or you have to put stuff, have a set time during the day or during the week where you review the history that they've been looking at. And the best way to do it, obviously, is between you and them so that they can go over it with you and say, here's what I looked at. There are hidden things. There are hidden apps, ways on phones to hide stuff. So you need to understand that if kids are installing certain things, that they have the ability to hide stuff. If you have a great relationship with your kid and they are all open about it, that's great. But more times than not, they're still trying to hide stuff and they're almost inquisitive and curious about whether you can find it out. There are lots of things out there to find it out. Parental control software will catch much of it. There are other things that you can do. There's software that you can put on the computers that will send you information. Unfortunately, that's something I had to do a long time ago to make sure that I knew exactly what was going on. A lot of it I kept quiet. Some of it I had to address. Sometimes I had to wait for that opportunity, but we still did it. It's a crazy world out there. It's a lot different than when you were growing up, and it's only going to get crazier. So you need to be on top of it. And my gosh, what are the kids who are doing this today going to have to handle when their kids are their age? An interesting question to ponder. You've been listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm going to move on out of here. Some Things About Money is up next. Don't fear technology. Use it. Understand it. Embrace it. That is the mission of Tech Today. Hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk with you next week on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. President Obama's State of the Union address tonight will be similar to past addresses, Fox News reports. It will be undoubtedly a political wish list, but one that may not be realistic considering Republicans now control both the House and the Senate. White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough on CBS's This Morning says President Obama's main theme tonight is helping the struggling middle class.
His mindset is to keep doing everything he can for the middle class to make sure that they have the opportunities to succeed in this country that he had growing up in a middle class family over the course of the last several decades.
Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is vowing to save two Japanese hostages in the hands of ISIS terrorists. The Islamic State group says it will behead the two unless Japan pays a $200 million ransom. Abe is sending a deputy foreign minister to Jordan to resolve the crisis. You're listening to USA Radio News.
In 2002, a National Sleep Foundation poll found that 63% of women had trouble sleeping. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. In my opinion, a major reason for insomnia is the Blue Card. It's a shopping and loyalty card, and it's free. That's right, free. No charge, nada. With the Blue Card, you can receive up to 5% cash back on purchases. Most cards only offer 2% at most. No wonder girls can't sleep. With the Blue Card, you can also get shopping points that you could use for online purchases. So it's cash back and shopping points. Am I keeping you awake? If you refer the blue card to someone else, you could even earn money on their purchases. No, I'm serious. It's true. But it gets better. If you share the blue card with a merchant, you could earn on the purchases of everyone who uses the blue card at their store. There is no way you're going to get any sleep until you get your own free blue card. So